The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. "This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he might have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world, is my flesh. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue on today in John chapter 6. As you remember, last week we were in John chapter 6, and we talked about the spiritual eating of Christ, and that is faith in him, and that he is the bread of life that has come down. Today we continue on with John chapter 6, where Jesus says these two things. He says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And he also says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. But what does it look like to come to Jesus? What does a coming to Jesus look like? We have this saying, we all know of this saying, and it's very popular and even in our culture today. We have this come to Jesus moment, right? What do people mean when they say that they have a come to Jesus moment? Sometimes it can mean a lot of different things, but sometimes it might mean that a person has hit rock bottom and realizes that maybe there needs to be a change in their life. Like the alcoholic or the addict. The addict, of course, a drug addict, but many other addicts, especially prevalent today, like pornography or screens even, right? But these people, you would recognize that it is time, that this has consumed you to the point that it has damaged or destroyed your life and the lives of those around you and the people that love you. They determine it's time to stop, at a come to Jesus moment. Sometimes people mean that they have an epiphany or a eureka kind of moment, like the adult, son or daughter that moves out on their own and they finally realize just how much it costs to live in this world, like rent and groceries and utilities and insurance and, oh yeah, taxes. But other times, when people talk about coming to Jesus, they might mean that they've made a decision. They've made a decision to follow Jesus, to believe in him. They've decided to come to Jesus. You know, it's tempting to think that way, that we come to Jesus. After all, Jesus does say that whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So it seems like the operative thing, the important thing there is to come to Jesus. Something that we do. Right? If you want to have eternal life, if you don't want to be cast out, then you better come to Jesus. It's true that all of Christ's righteousness and forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that we have in him and the certainty of salvation, all of those things are found only in Christ. So if you don't, unless you come to Christ, then you don't receive his righteousness, his forgiveness, his life, and salvation. That's true. Yet, in our gospel reading, Jesus also says this. In verse 37, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And then in verse 39, he says this. And this is the will of him, the Father, who sent me, that I should lose nothing at all of that he has given me, but will raise it up on the last day. And then again in verse 44, no one can come to me, Jesus, unless the Father who sent me draws him. So you see, it is the Father who first draws. It is the Father who gives. So the reality is no one chooses or decides to come to Jesus unless the Father first draws him. No one comes to Jesus without the Father first calling him, inviting him, and giving him them into his Son's loving arms. And that is exactly what we see happening in our verses in John chapter 6 this morning. Through the words of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Father is doing just that. He is calling, he is giving, he is inviting, he is drawing. Sadly, though, those gathered around Jesus that day didn't think they needed to hear those words from the very Son of God. They arrogantly believed that they could come to the Father on their own. They pridefully trusted in their own flesh, their ancestry, or they are the physical descendants of Abraham, as if their ethnicity entitled them to something, like a right relationship with God the Father. And because of that, they also then misunderstood the law. Rather than the law revealing to them just how unworthy they were to be in a right relationship of God with God the Father, and thus pointing them to Jesus, the very bread of life who comes to take away the sin and give them life, instead of that, they proudly believed that they could merit God's grace on their own by their obedience to the law. In other words, the people gathered around Jesus that day didn't think that they needed a Savior, because after all, they were the children of Abraham. Their ethnicity saves them, and they could earn God's favor and eternal life on their own merit. And this, Jesus explains that he, speaking to them, is sent by the Father. So when they hear the Father, or when they hear Jesus speaking, they are hearing the Father. I and the Father are one. So the words of the Son of God that is spoken is the same word of the Father. So when Jesus there is spiritually feeding these people, yes, the Jews that are gathered around them that day, yes, by teaching them, but also by correcting them, correcting their false doctrine, their false understanding, that's spiritually feeding them. When he reveals to them that he is the very bread of life that has come down from heaven to give eternal life, that is the Father working. That is the Father's word. That is the Father calling them to his Son, Jesus, the very word of God, drawing them to come to Jesus. Jesus says in verse 44 through 46, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." It is written in the prophets, right? The Jews around him that day, they should have recognized that, should have known this. It's written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Jesus is speaking. He is the one teaching. He is God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, Jesus. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, Jesus. He has seen the Father. But because of their foolish pride in their ethnicity, pride in their own merits, they rejected the very bread of life. They tossed aside the Father's gracious invitation to come to Jesus. And in doing so, they turned their back on the Father's will. What is the Father's will? Jesus explains that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Three times Jesus says, I will raise him up on the last day. That is our hope. So the source of our coming to Jesus is never our own choice. It's never of our own will. You didn't decide to come to Jesus prior to the gift of the Holy Spirit. You were in a terrible state. Reread the epistle reading and look at the former state that you were in, right? It's not good. Prior to that, you were enslaved to sin, and in that state, you would never choose to follow or come to Jesus. But by God's grace, you are no longer in that state. You are baptized. You are believers in Christ. Yet, like the Jews in John chapter 6, we find that same pride, that same arrogance still lurking within. right? We have the old man. This is, again, the epistle reading. We have the old man, and we also have the new man fighting, battling against each other. Within the heart, we too would like to, we would prefer that we get some sort of credit for our salvation. Like the Jews around Jesus in John chapter 6, we want to fool ourselves into thinking that there is something that entitles us to God's favor. Something we do, or perhaps our ethnicity. There's something about us that God looks and says, that person is worthy of saving. Even as believers in Christ, our old sinful flesh still tries to convince us of this, and we need to repent of it. We need to keep it in check. Our sinful flesh keeps bubbling up saying, oh, you actually are a pretty good person. Whether it's your ancestry, your ethnicity, your own intellect, your own high moral standards, there's something about you that is special, far better than others. Surely, God has seen the good that is in me and deemed me worthy of eternal life. Foolishness. That is the absolute foolishness that Jesus in John chapter 6 is destroying and dismantling amongst the Jews that are gathered around him that day. Repent of that. None of us are exempt from that foolishness. We all have it. It is our old sinful flesh. And that's why it is such wonderful, comforting news that coming to Jesus doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on your ethnicity. It doesn't depend on your own merits or your morality or any other such thing. It depends on God. It depends on God and His grace. It is the Father's choice to send His Son to be the very bread of life, to offer His life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, including yours. It is His choice to graciously invite you, through the words of Jesus, to come to Jesus, come to His Son. And it is His choice, it is His will to give you everything, to satisfy your hunger eternally. You shall never hunger. Quench your thirst eternally, and to give you eternal life and raise you up on the last day. Your coming to Jesus is totally and completely dependent upon God's grace. And that's a good thing. Because if any tiny bit of it, if any of our salvation depended upon us in any way, we inevitably would screw it up. 100% of the time, every time. But God is always faithful, and He will do it. By God's grace, because Jesus, the very bread of life, came down from heaven, because the Father's word has drawn you to Christ and created faith in your heart where previously there was nothing. Again, read the epistle reading. Because you are now a child of God, baptized into the name of God, you are able now to come to Jesus. You are able to come to Jesus. You are able to do so willingly and joyfully. Come to Jesus. You believe in His word and His promises. You recognize and you believe that He is the very living bread of heaven that has come down to give you life. And that He came down to accomplish the Father's will, laying down His life as a perfect sacrifice for you. So that all who eat upon Him, that is, believe in Him, will not die, but will live forever. Yes, Jesus is the very bread of life. He gave His flesh on the cross for the life of the world. His death and resurrection grants you access now directly to your merciful, gracious Father in heaven. And now, risen and ascended to the right hand of God, ruling over all things, the bread of life continues to come and to feed you spiritually. Through His word that you are hearing now, you are being invited to come to Jesus, and yes, also in the Lord's Supper, where His very body and blood are present for you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins and to the strengthening of your faith. So, as recipients of God's grace, come. Come to Jesus. And this is what coming to Jesus looks like for you, dear believers in Christ. You come to Him, never pridefully, never arrogantly, but humbly, on bended knee. you come to him, not with this arrogant sense of entitlement, but gratefully, recognizing that you are indeed undeserving recipients, but you are recipients nonetheless. Come joyfully, trusting that here the bread of life is present for you. He offered up his flesh to give you eternal life. He will never cast you out. He promises. He will never lose you, but he will raise you up on the last day. In Christ, in the very bread of life, you will never hunger or thirst again. For in the bread of life you have eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.